If you teach for a living, it's hard to talk about the money you're being paid, which is never very much. In Utah, we're right near the bottom in teacher pay, something like 45th. But that's not why you do it, right? At least that's what you're supposed to say, that you didn't get into teaching for the money. You went into it for the kids or for this commitment to education. We did a Radio West joke recently about the subject, and one English teacher from Park City wrote in to say that he gets frustrated with the idea that teachers don't do it for the money, as if that didn't matter. His name was Matt, and I'm sure he got into teaching because of the kids and his commitment, but he told us that I also do it for the money, he said. I have a family I'm supporting. And lately, if teacher strikes in Oklahoma and West Virginia are any indication, more and more people are coming forward to say the money does matter. But here in Utah, there is at least one teacher who is quite satisfied with her paycheck.
I never thought that I'd hit $70,000 ever in my life as a teacher.
This is More to Say. I'm Doug Fabrizio. That was Jody Lee Chatty. Jody teaches in southern Utah, on part of the Navajo reservation, actually, and she gets paid $70,000 to teach fourth grade. KUER's Lee Hale found Jody and some of the other teachers on the Navajo reservation, and he told the story of how, and this seems so obvious, how education officials in that remote part of the state came up with this idea for trying to attract and keep, the keep part is important here, keep teachers. You pay them a decent wage. Lee took KUER's filmmaker Kelsey Moore with him to report the story, and they're both with us here in the studio. Guys, welcome.
Hey.
So Lee, start with the idea of how it is that this is happening. I mean, we have talked for decades and decades about teacher pay in this state and everywhere else. So how is it happening that in San Juan County, of all places, they're paying teachers a decent wage?
It's a big deal. Well, I heard that a teacher was making $70,000, and I wanted to hop in a car and drive hours south just to find out, just investigate.
Yeah. Well, we should explain why, because that, you have your own experience with this.
I was a teacher at one time, but more than that, I've seen a lot of my teacher friends who spend a long time in the career, and they don't get close to that for years, maybe 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So I heard about this school or this district that had this incentive program. They wanted people to come and stay. They wanted teachers who were going to be teachers, but also leaders. And so they thought, we'll just pay them like administrators.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Admin makes around 70, 80.
Yep.
So they wanted to pay around 70 or 80,000 for these teachers. And Jody Lee Chatty, they recruited her from New Mexico. She was a veteran teacher. And she saw that and she thought, I can do that.
But how does Jody's salary compare with, say, someone in the Granite School District or in the Davis County School District?
Well, some of these districts are actually giving teachers raises currently, so they're higher than they were just two or three years ago. I'd say somebody in her place would probably be in the high 50s or low 60s, so not incredibly different. The thing that's unique about her is usually if you move up from a different state, you're kind of at a loss.
Yeah.
What they did is they honored all of her experience from out of state and then gave her a $12,000 bump. Basically, you could find any teacher, and you can make them jealous by telling them Jody's salary.
But how is it that this is happening in the San Juan District? Because I guess it's one thing to say that teacher salaries are becoming competitive in, you know, districts along the Wasatch Front. But, you know, San Juan is one of those places that's been repressed economically for a long time. How is it that they're managing this?
I think it's just it's just like a philosophy from the district. They just really value teacher pay, which sounds maybe silly to say, but the superintendent down there, Ron Nielsen, just knows that if you pay people well, that's part of getting them to stay around. They also lobbied the legislature for a grant. They knew that they couldn't afford to pay these teachers this outright, so they could pay part of it, but they wanted a few what they call lead teachers or Q-tip teachers. That stands for Quality Teacher Incentive Program. It's just people who are paid this high salary, who do a little bit of administrative responsibilities, and then kind of somewhere in between a teacher and an administrator. And so they went to legislature, they asked for a little bit of money, they got it, I think they got $250,000, and they were able to start this kind of grant program type thing. They're hoping eventually they can do it without the legislature's help, but for right now that's kind of how they're able to do it.
So the film that accompanied the reporting that you did, the title of it seems to kind of embody the whole idea here, and it is, Will You Be Here Next Year? Talk a little bit about this question, because this is kind of the theme. This is really an important idea, it seems like.
And that title happened pretty organically. When Kelsey and I went down there, it was kind of incredible. Every person we talked to that worked in a school, they said, kids ask me all the time, are you coming back next year?
It's hard to trust when teachers leave in the middle of the year, after a year, you know, and that's been what's gone on here. So
they're used to huge teacher turnover on the reservation. Maybe 50% of teachers can leave any given year.
Well, they still ask me about once a month if I'm leaving. And not only the students, but the custodial.
Naively, I thought, you only have the teacher for a year. What does it matter as a student? Well, it matters when you see the teacher down the hall year after year. It matters that people want to live where you live. It matters that people want to be near you and help you. And that kind of consistency, it came across to us as very apparent. This really matters.
What was the thing that you were noticing as you're wandering around looking for images and trying to tell the story?
I mean, visually, they are beautiful schools. I mean, this is like the backdrop that movie sets are made out of, literally. So, I mean, anytime you looked out of the window, it's like the most gorgeous. I mean, you've got Monument Valley. You're on Monument Valley there. So beautiful, beautiful red rocks. I mean, that is the best of Utah right there. Obviously, the kids are really, really cute. I mean, I personally have never been around a lot of Native Americans. And so that was a really kind of unique and awesome experience for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the question of the idea of the setting also raises an important part of the story, Lee, that you talk about. And that is, what are the challenges of getting kids to school, because this is a different kind of setting, and it's really remote, and the cultural differences are really apparent. So talk a little bit about what it's like to teach there or try to get teachers to show up to a place like that.
Well, logistically, it's difficult because it's far away from like a grocery store, like simply enough, right?
Yeah.
Where we went, I'm going to try to say the school name. I might massacre it, but it's Tabinsiskai Elementary School, and that's kind of the Navajo word for Monument Valley. You are out there on the reservation. You're about kind of an hour from other towns, small towns, mind you, not big towns. You have to go about 2 or 3 hours to get to a real grocery store or like a movie theater. So you're out there. If you're not Navajo, you can't have a house on the reservation. So the teachers literally live behind the school,
maybe a quarter of a mile away. So I just walk to work every morning. On the weekends, if my husband's not here, I usually am in the classroom doing something.
Kind of like a dorm life situation, which sounds kind of fun or sounds miserable depending on what
right.
how you see that.
Yeah.
Jody's walk to school was just a matter of minutes, and Kelsey did that. She followed her with the camera. So you really have to commit. You are there, right? This isn't just I remember going to school and one teacher saying, I would never live near my school because I don't want to see the kids out of school hours, you know? There, it's like, this is your community. These are your people. Like, you are there.
I do go to the students' homes if they want me there. And that's just a social visit. Nothing to do with how your student's doing. Just, you know, I want to know where you live. That I'm interested in you other than just a student in my classroom.
It's more than just a school them. And when they do community events, people really show up. Like, the school really is a heart of the community.
I liked one of the things that, and this is how we get into the film, was Lee mentioned Jody's walk to work.
I don't think anyone has as gorgeous a morning walk as I do. It's really something else.
We found her apartment amongst all of the other ones, so she's in like a cloistered sort of group of, they just look like normal apartments from the outside, and found hers and followed her. I think it took us 10 minutes to walk, and it's just along like a red sort of dirt road, or like not even a road, a path. And everybody she passed, she seemed to know. She was saying hello to everybody. And then she makes her way to the back school door. And that was her whole walk. It was like really gorgeous. It was something else.
Another part of the story is the importance of establishing trust, that these kids, I guess because they've been burned in the past, and I guess also just because of there's some cultural differences going on here, it takes them a while to warm up to these teachers and really get to trust them. That seemed to be a part of the way of telling this story, is explaining that.
Yeah.
I mean, every adult who we talked to had said it took them a while. Like we said, all the kids kept asking, are you going to be here next year? But before they could even have that kind of chat, they had to trust them enough. And so it seemed like with Jodie, I think she said it took her months for that to happen. And it did happen, but it was not easy.
I mean, they weren't like rude to me, but it's hard to trust when teachers leave in the middle of the year, after a year. To gain the trust of the students was my first and most important job. And once they started believing that I was going to be here every day and we were creating relationships, then it became much easier.
She has on her back wall of her classroom was a picture of her with most of her students at the student's home. And she had gone and visited them. And I feel like that was really indicative of the kind of person she is, where she met them where they're at. She was really invested in like getting to know them and getting to know their families. That's exactly the kind of person you need at a school that's used to turnover. I think that what you'd see with her is that next year, because students are used to her, it'll take less time for them to warm up and less time. And once you become a facet there, that's part of it too. That impacts learning. You know, are these kids going to open up? Are they going to speak to you? And I think that she's learning that they will with time.
So how does it work, this program? Because they're given more pay, but there's also a little bit higher expectation to the kind of work that they'll be doing, I guess.
Well, I want to compare it to a story I did a little while ago. I followed an English teacher who's now an assistant principal at a middle school. And he was like kind of like Dead Poet Society type teacher. You know what I mean? Like the kind of guy that the kids just love. Yep. And he invites you. I mean, he challenges you to think big thoughts and make the most out of yourself. But he also had 5 kids going on 6 and was making, you know, low 50s and needed a pay raise. And so he became an assistant principal.
Yeah.
And I kind of followed him for a day. And he was just kind of, it was just not the same thing. He's, you know, he likes the kids, but he's just kind of chasing him down the hallway. He basically doubled his salary. And the reason I did that story was to show, like, here's this amazing guy who really didn't want to leave the classroom, but he made this jump purely for the money. If he could go back, he would. But now his family, you know, family uses the money. They need the money. They have a mortgage.
Yeah.
So what you don't have in a lot of districts or a lot of states even is something in between that keeps somebody in the school where they can do a little more but stay with the kids. Some schools, I think, kind of have something similar, but the thing about San Juan District is they really created a new job title, like lead teacher, where a lot of these principals, especially on the reservation, there's just a principal. They don't have an assistant principal. And so somebody like Jodie fills that role to a degree. There's a few other lead teachers. So basically the principal knows I can lean on them. I don't have to be mentoring every single new teacher because the lead teacher's got my back. That's the biggest thing is Jodie kind of watches over her other fourth grade teacher and the third grade teachers. She's kind of responsible for them. I think it could be that simple, right? They're just kind of like the adults in the building, but they're experienced ones in the building. And so, there is a part of that. And it's just a way for the principal to feel like it's not everything falls on them.
You know, the thing I kept wondering in the listening to the piece and seeing the film is this a unique story? So unique because of the how original it is to have this situation on a Native American reservation, or could you translate this story, you know, pay them more, give them more responsibility to any other kind of district in Utah? Like, could this translate?
The reason I like this story and wanted to do it is because I think people are used to people hopping onto these reservations and saying, look at the challenges they face, look at the difficulties. It's like an inner city school. And there are still challenges, don't get me wrong. But what I saw this district doing is like, this is something that I think should be adopted by other districts. This is like kind of, to me, it seemed like a really simple, kind of elegant fix to a problem a lot of teachers are experiencing. How do we keep amazing people in a classroom and also encourage them to climb the ladder? And stick around. So I definitely think this is something that the rest of districts in Utah, maybe the country, could look at San Juan and think, okay, I know they're doing this out of almost desperation, but I think they tapped into something really smart here.
So what's the future of the program? Is it an experiment? Is it something, like, when do we know it works? And like, what's the future of it, I suppose?
The principal, Christy Fitzgerald, said they're only looking at filling one teaching spot next year. That's unheard of.
Because the turnover, like the turnover. They are going to be here next year.
They are going to be here next year. Yeah. As she said, it affects the people who have that lead teacher distinction because they are invested and they're going to stick around. But then also that makes the younger teachers feel more secure. They have a mentor. They have someone they can rely on. It's a tonal shift for a school. This is a school that has an F rating when it comes to scoring. They want to turn that around. They want to see that grade climb. But most important to her, the biggest factor of success was we don't have to hire like crazy. Some summers they're just desperately hiring, just, you know, looking for anyone far and wide. Now, they're still recruiting and they're still looking for people, but it's not like it has been.
There's this moment, Kelsey, in the film where Jody is talking to you about that question when she's asked, will you be here next year? And I liked how she talked about how she turns the question back around on them.
When the students ask me if I'm going to be here next year, I tell them, I'm not leaving, and I'm going to cry, sorry. I'm not leaving until one of you take my job.
I think everybody realizes that these kids would benefit from having people who really understand where they're coming from, what their lives look like, know their language, can teach them that language. And so they're recognizing that this would be even better if there were more Native teachers and more Native principals and Natives in these kids' lives.
But, I mean, I think you already said this, but I was just as you were saying that, I mean, Jody was being sincere when she said, I want you guys to replace me, right? Like, that wasn't just, like, something she said. And something that affected me, and I put it into my story, was just that I think she realizes she loves being there. It's home for now, but it's just home for now, right? These kids grew up here, and there's a big difference. You can never replace that. And when somebody is really from this place, they are of this place, they know this place, that's the best way to guarantee that they'll be there next year.
I was just a tadpole of a girl when my family decided to leave the crowded city life behind. My daddy said, there are territories out west with wide open spaces. The Kaw family needs room to grow. What does he mean by tadpole of a girl?
Tiny.
Yeah. So that's imagery you can imagine, because tadpoles are what? Are they
little,
big?
Little teeny fishies.
Okay, Hannah's reading next.
Okay. He was mostly talking about my big brother.
I feel like I'm doing a good job. I feel like maybe I was needed here.
Lee Hale and Kelsey Moore. Thanks, you two.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you.
More to Say is a production of KUER News in Salt Lake City. I'm Tim Slover. Lee Hale and I produced the podcast, and Doug Fabrizio was our host. You'll find links to Lee's reporting and Radio West's film, Will You Be Here Next Year, in our show notes and at films.radiowest.org. Thanks for listening.